Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Fasten your seatbelts. The foremost authority on 9/11, the best-selling author of Methodical Illusion, and a researcher extraordinaire, Rebecca Roth is about to step up to the microphone and launch into Reality Check, where the light will shine brightly upon the truth.
Live from Boise, Idaho, where football is played on blue carpet. I'll never understand that. But it's the Rebecca Roth Show, and with me is Ms. Rebecca Roth.
Boise, Idaho, I will never forget watching football on a blue field. Oh, college football, it'll never be the same.
It's particularly bad when they wear their all-blue uniforms.
Yes, it is. I've actually seen a game like that. Well, what in the world brought you to Boise?
Well, I was dilly-dallying around Union Gap a couple of weeks ago, and last week I couldn't get an internet connection, and that didn't help with the show production, so we must apologize for that. Ramjet is at fault. Speaking of Ramjet, is this the real Ramjet, or is this the fraud Ramjet?
Which is it?
I don't know.
Is this the real Rebecca Roth?
Maybe this isn't the real Rebecca Roth.
Is this the fraudulent Rebecca Roth? You're a fraud. Ah, no. Wait, I'm a fraud. No, you're a fraud. No, someone else is a fraudulent 9/11 truther, and we know who you are. By the way, for those of you that are interested to know who these trolls are, we often laugh about and refer to the troll section on www.rebeccaroth.com. So I'll tell you a little bit about some of the encounters I've had with just some of them. These are kind of the major ones. The interesting thing to me is they all, except for Fetzer, got free books. And he asked for one. But I'd already been told how he was bashing me, so I said, screw that guy. I'm not giving him a free book, for crying out loud. But so, yes, it's very obvious that he and the others have never read the free books that they got, or they would never dream I was a CIA agent, for crying out loud. Anyway, welcome to the Rebecca Roth Show, and Ramjet calling in from Boise, Idaho. Ha ha. Very cool. I just don't even want to ask you what your plans are next. So we'll wait till next week and find out. But I have a little book report.
Well, you know, I need to go to some exotic places.
Yeah. Boise is not one of them.
Union Gap, Washington is not one of them. I mean, I've been doing my diligence and my thing, but it's time to start going to cool places again. So yeah. Maybe I'll go to Savonlinna, Finland and see the opera.
Well, who knows? Would be nice.
One never knows.
Summers are long nights up there. Oh, well, I was going to give you a short book report. A Methodical Conclusion, the third book in the series, is done, and it's been out since around the 12th or 14th of July. So not quite a month. And we're getting some interesting reactions and reviews. So there's some really nice reviews on Amazon. Last I looked, it was all 5 stars. The trolls hadn't found it yet, and that was several days ago. Also, I'm getting incredible email reaction again from people that knew things, saw things, read the book. Here's an interesting thing. Since people knew this book was coming, and unfortunately, since I got sick, that pneumonia slowed me down a few months. So and everybody was anxiously awaiting this book. And since I talked about how it had really, and it's still to this day, I mean, people email me or contact me on Facebook, and they finish the book and they're just beside themselves. They don't know what to do with the information. They're angry, which is great, because it's about time people get angry with what happened. There's ever been a doubt in your mind about how 9/11 happened from the get-go to the very end, and to the brainwashing that we're going to talk about on this show, then you need to read Methodical Illusion, and then Deception, and then Conclusion. And a lot of people are rereading the first two books, and then, boom, that third book comes in. So they've, just over a week or, you know, several days period of time, read all three. They just wanted to refresh what they had learned in the first two novels. And yes, again, this is a continuation of methodical illusion and deception, and they are again in novel format. One of the interviews I did several months ago, the interviewer said, these are not fiction, they are faction books. So everything you read about 9/11 is factual, and it is backed up with Freedom of Information Act data or some other government data that I have finally dug into. So, and put all the pieces together. Now, with the third book, it isn't just me. And someone was, I was sharing actually a file with a reader, and they were saying, wow, how did you do this? And I'm like, you know, I didn't do this. This is a group work of people that have knowledge, working knowledge, and these are military and civilian pilots, air traffic controllers, people that were involved with research and development for DARPA and some large universities, big name universities, and that have found me through all the interviews that have happened. I was talking to the guy that runs the SGT report, and my interviews with him, he did like an hour interview, was his number five listened to. And the last I looked, it had over an 800,000 views, and that was months ago. And then he had cut about an eight-minute segment out of that became the number three all-time listened to video. That was on Methodical Deception and the SGT report on YouTube. So, of course, I've sent him the third book. Hopefully he'll have time to read it. But this one has an impact on people, just like it has on me. I mean, I find myself really having a hard time discussing what's in there and what we found. And it just absolutely blew the minds of the air traffic controllers and the pilots and the people that were had joined me to help figure out what's in all this Freedom of Information Act stuff. So you'll notice that the Freedom of Information Act files that were Bob's from book two, they're going through are basically what I'm doing. And I just replaced all of the people that are on the research team helping me with fictitious characters. There are some eyewitnesses. People are, excuse me, I just having a hard time with my throat. People are curious about the eyewitnesses to the gold and other things that happened. And yes, they are real, but the characters you're going to read about are fictitious names, and their jobs are fictitious because I need to keep them safe because they stepped out on a limb, probably much weaker limb than me, if I let that information be out.
Well, the curious thing about 9/11, and it is so massive and so involved that, you know, you really are the only researcher that I know of that has really encompassed the entire issue about it. There are people in their specific jobs that in doing their jobs realize that 9/11, or at least the part that affected them, was, you know, a little screwy. And they've always been questioning, but they didn't have the whole grand picture. They didn't know, just because, you know, the aspect of their job was screwy, that what else was, because that they didn't deal with that. That's not where they went. And because it was so involved with, you know, gold and buildings and different places and all across the country and blah, 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 and different, you know, entities that were, you know, assigned specific tasks, you know, people can't wrap their mind around it. And I think one of the benefits that you have created in your novels is that you have created the whole picture, or pretty close to the whole picture. And so people are able to step forward and say, yeah, I agree with that because I, you know, had this experience and that made a lot of sense to me. And now I understand, because of the whole picture, that the whole thing was phony, fake. Fraud.
As Max Hager would say, you've been hoodwinked. that's one of my favorite sayings from Max Hager. And, you know, we were hoodwinked. I was too. So one of the things that I found very, very interesting, really, truly, to me, as a airline professional who could have very easily been on one of those four jets that day, I missed it by about 10 hours. So actually, I found a couple airplanes that probably were also targeted, but at the last minute, they had an aircraft change or something went wrong with the remote control takeovers. So there were actually supposed to be 6 aircraft that were hijacked remotely and supposedly crashed. But one of the things I found that is it's interesting and it's also disheartening as an airline professional is the amount of trolls involved in the 9/11 truth movement. And these are people that have come in over the last decade, 6, 7, 8 years maybe, that are in here to argue one teeny tiny minute detail. You said thermite. You said nanothermite. You're a fraud. Okay, these people are trolls. It has nothing to do with the teeny tiny little detail that they're arguing about. I literally had one old professor, not Fetzer, but a different old professor, argue with me and try to claim that I didn't know what I was talking about because I referred to Betty Ong's phone call starting at 8:18, 8:19, 8 or 8:20. Well, that's because the official documentation has her phone call starting at 3 different minutes. Not me. It's the official government data that I had to work on. But it was through those different documents that I saw that the government removed or added details to the original testimony. And so you see, that's kind of why, but he personally attacked me over 1 minute. I have been personally attacked over the word nano in front of thermite or thermite in general.
Well, the best maybe came this week when somebody wanted to argue with you about the word ordinance.
Yes, the spelling of the word ordinance. Now, it's taken right out of the DEA report, how it's reported by a DEA federal agent. Guy in Boston, 9/11 truth. It just can't, he missed the entire book reading methodical conclusion and was stuck on a tiny little word in the middle of the book where Ruth Ann and Max were reviewing the art students, the traveling art students from the DEA report that you can find in the resource section on methodicaldeception.com. So, but I'm like, did you really truly miss the entire important stuff here? Because you are stuck in chapter 12 on one word.
He wanted the book reprinted.
Yes, he wanted the book reprinted. Oh my God. Well, thousands of books have gone out there. And it's good enough for the federal government to spell it ordinance the way it's spelled in the book. And I mean, this is a prime example of people that have infiltrated the 9/11 supposed truth movement who don't care about the truth. This guy read the methodical conclusion, completely missed what everybody else is catching, what everybody else has got their mind blown over, what everybody else is feeling angry over. And he was so anal or such a troll, because he's in the Boston 9/11 truth movement, that he couldn't get over this one word. He wanted the books reprinted because it wasn't correct.
Then things.
And it's like, I'm not really involved in, though in my coming books, I know there is going to be some information coming out for you. But up to this point, I've really never gotten involved in the methodologies used on 9/11. However, I do have all the weather in the Freedom of Information Act data. And so for those of you that are wondering about this other lunatic scientist person's information, that there was a hurricane in New York, that they drew energy from an energy weapon, that hurricane was nowhere near the World Trade Center towers. Now, just go back and look at any of the videos, and you will see that the sky is blue. And if you're curious, I can actually give you a copy of the weather in New York and Washington, D.C., because that's part of the FOIA data. And it's also, so you know, very big part of the FAA and the radar is Doppler weather radar for airplanes, for weather. And one of the things that pilots do is they get a full weather report from A to B. So if they're leaving or if they're flying through, if there's thunderstorms, they're marked in big red boxes on their flight path map. So you can that's how we know to fly around a thunderstorm, for example. So weather is a huge part of the FAA for air traffic control and for pilots. That's why I have all that information. Now, it's really interesting because we've got somebody who was not involved at all. I don't know where in the world this professor was, even if they were employed. I just don't get involved with a lot of people who have come out. Like I said, I'm not a conspiracy nut. And the hardest thing for me was literally wading through the bullshit that people had come up with, bloviating these crazy stories. Flight attendants were kidnapped and the planes never took off because the people don't understand that the Bureau of Transportation Statistics was a voluntary system and it was run off flight numbers. They don't understand that when an airline has a crash on a flight number, they let that thing go. They aren't going to continue flying it, especially something as traumatic as 9/11 was to all of us around the world. So, but if you don't understand the airline, which they don't, then they just bloviate BS. And so there's lots of professors. I found lots of professors that know nothing about the airline industry, the FAA, even how NORAD scrambles jets for us. Nothing. They just bloviate BS out there and they've charged money for it. Now, I've also been told that there's some of these people that are 9/11 truthers that literally have targeted me personally to try to destroy me. Well, I've got news for them. I'm already working on another book because we're going deeper down this rabbit hole. Much deeper. So I'm going to guess there's probably two more coming out. I'm just starting to think now if I should take Ruth Ann and Mark on the journey or start all over again. But I'm feeling like Ruth Ann and Mark are going to continue on with their air traffic control friends, Tom and Chip, because there's a lot more information that I couldn't put out in this last book. So we've already got it, probably enough to do another book. I know everybody's excited to hear that. A lot of people want the nonfiction. They want to see the FOIA data. And I shared one of the files, a Freedom of Information Act draw, in my Facebook group. And you can see how hard it is to read because that particular file is probably one of the last things I found. It wasn't in my FOIA. It was in someone else's draw. And again, I don't know what this guy does for a living, but he obviously either denied getting help from an airline professional, FAA employee, air traffic controller. This guy held the big boom of the methodical conclusion in his hand for years because he was trying to find out how come General Hugh Shelton was lying about where he was, his whereabouts, and what time he got back to Andrews. So he was kind of looking into stuff. But what he missed by not having the help to be able to read it was I feel like it was the cornerstone. It was the grand finale of methodical conclusion for me. And this is the part that I really, really, really didn't know if I should put in the book because it's so massive. It is so mind-blowing. It is the key factor. And this blogger, 9/11 truther writer guy, I don't know what his real job is, had this for years. I'm going to guess he might have had it for nearly a decade, but I'm not quite sure when he did the draw. I can look. Because I found it in an article, and like I said, most of the bloggers, I just blow them off, but he had referenced stuff in this article on his blog, and it was in the references. And since I'd already been months looking at flight strips and radar data, I kind of already had an idea what we had here, and I recognized that it wasn't something I already had. It was in addition to the FOIA, the terabyte that I had. So, of course, I get together with the air traffic controllers, and say, let's look at this because this is something new. We haven't seen this. And this is a hieroglyphics by an air traffic controller. Literally, there are triangles with arrows and lines drawing through. And what that represents, because I might even actually put this link this into the webpage for conclusion, just so you guys can see it, because I put it in a section of my Facebook group, The Real Rebecca Roth Show and Friends. And you can see how difficult it is to read this. And if you don't know what you're looking at, which this blogger didn't for years, he probably had them for 5 or 6 years, maybe more, and how big this detail was. And, you know, I was chatting with a reader, actually, that had read the books and then started buying some sets for some friends, one of which was someone who had lost a close family member in the Pentagon Office of Naval Investigation, I believe. And I was saying, you know, I think the main problem with the 9/11 truth, besides being infiltrated by people that were really there to sidetrack you with a single word or 1 minute or nano in front of thermite or thermite itself, these people are not interested in the truth. They're interested in their own ego. And my comment to this reader was, you know, the 9/11 truth movement is so full of egotistical bloviators that don't care about the truth. They care about selling books, or they care about getting paid to lecture someone the same information that they've been lecturing for numerous years with nothing new. And yet they get this information. I've got 3 books out in 19 months. I've got a terabyte of Freedom of Information Act plus, and they're not interested to see it. They don't even want to know what's in it. And that's very telling to me. They just want to stick with no airplanes ever took off and nobody really died. No, in fact, they did. And yes, they did die. And you know, one of the things that really has kept me driving personally is I go back into Google Images and I look at those pictures of those people that stripped their shirts off because it was so hot. Something in that tower was so hot, and it wasn't jet fuel. After it burned for a while, what happened was those people got so hot by being hit by something, whether it was microwaves or frequency weapons. I'm not going to argue with you about that, but something happened. They pulled their shirts off and jumped out of that tower. And it is that vision. There is one man in particular, not the falling man. It's another guy without a shirt on, that I strive and get my drive from. I just put myself where those people were that were in the towers. And when you finish reading Methodical Conclusion, every single piece of this puzzle of 9/11 is going to fall into place. And that's why I suggest, if you're going to buy the book or haven't read it yet, review the other 2 books or read the whole series. But I wouldn't suggest doing it right in a row. And I know some people are. To me, it would be. It's like a little bit too much. I mean, Methodical Conclusion still blows my mind. I mean, I haven't even reread it. I just know what's in there. And I look at the documents and I go back. And when I place this document in the files in the Facebook group, I was back there reading it and talking with this person, going over what some of it meant. And it hits me in my gut, my heart, and I just am blown away.
Well, the reports of those that have read all 3 books in one sitting, like over a weekend or, you know, 3 or 4 days, 911 goes from New York to little red lights in front of their house.
Yeah, you might need mental help. It's a lot to digest. It really, truly is. And I've done it over 19 months, so... and it's, for me, it's a lot. It hits home because I could have easily been on one of those planes. So that keeps rearing its ugly head at me. And I see people on Facebook in particular. I think I've got most of them blocked now. But I see people that are Rebecca Roth. Yeah, she's a fraud. Oh, really? Rebecca Roth. Yeah, she never flew. Yeah, she's a CIA agent. Uh-huh. Well, if you're convinced I'm a CIA agent, that tells me one thing. You have not read 1 of the 3 books that I have written. It tells me you're a troll and you're the fraud. You don't care about the truth. Driving me is that guy that jumped out of the tower with no shirt on. Because there's a look on his face. And for some reason, just think about this for a second, He was so hot that he pulled his shirt off before he jumped. And if you look, a lot of people did. And if you listen to the phone calls a lot of people were making to their loved ones before the explosion or before they had to jump, and they say, it's so hot. Now, office fires don't burn that hot, and jet fuel burns up really quickly, and it's not that hot. So you just see, just the other day, what was the airline that crashed? Emirates from Dubai had a crash landing, and they caught on fire. And so you can find that. It was RT had it, so you can look on RT.com. All of the passengers, or nearly 300, I believe, got out okay. There were some that had a little minor injuries or burns. But the whole top part of that fuselage is burned out, gone. Just kind of like that one that crashed in San Francisco.
Tell me that they evacuated that plane of 300 people in like 40 seconds?
I think it was 46 seconds. Well, something that a lot of people don't know is that we as flight attendants, when we do our training, and when new aircraft come out from Boeing or Airbus, there's an FAA place down in Oklahoma where flight attendants will get in, and we will have, and these are now mock passengers. These are real people that know their job is to evacuate that airplane as quickly as possible. I have many, many times looked at a full 747 of people that don't speak English and thought, what in the world will we do if we have to evacuate all of these people? Because you got to get them out of there. And they did, 46 seconds. And these were people which I noticed the flight had come from India. So most of the women were wearing those long floor-length sari wrapped around yards and yards of silk. And I've often looked at those people, and some airline flight attendants actually used to wear something very similar to that, thinking, how in the world will they get out of a window exit with all that yards and yards of fabric wrapped around them? Or how will they get out even the door exit, go down the chute with all this yards of fabric? Well, they did it in 46 seconds. That is really, I posted that in my Facebook group too. That is what every single flight attendant trains for every single year in their yearly training. It's something you never want to have to do, but the minute you know it's time to, here in the States, we had command from the pilots, to evacuate the aircraft, easy victor, easy victor, easy victor. And that meant, you know, get the heck out of the plane, open all the doors. And so the flight attendants then would assess the conditions, look out the window, make sure there's no trees out there or fire. In this case, you know, you never know. Sometimes if the landing gear does come down and something goes wrong, sometimes the landing gear can catch on fire. So, you know, if you're right there at door three or right above the landing gear, sometimes that is just black smoke from the tires. Sometimes it's fire. So you just have to look before you open your door. But I saw a great response. And I understand someone posted that one of the firefighters in Dubai was actually died from an injury fighting that aircraft fire. So it's amazing to see. I think people, well, when I first released Methodic Illusion, I had a 9/11 truther, one of those guys wearing the 9/11 banner on his Facebook picture, say, what the hell do you know? All you've done is serve Cokes and 7-Up. I'd like to take one of these books, actually the whole series, and shove it, you know, where on this guy. I mean, really pathetic. But that's what a flight attendant has to deal with. The disrespect that I've gotten from these retired, obloviating professors of BS that know nothing about the airline, absolutely nothing. Or some of the trolls that were 10 years old or 9 years old at 9/11. Hell, I had almost 30 years of flying in on 9/11. So who knows more, a 9-year-old boy who probably didn't even know it was happening, or a flight attendant? Come on, really, seriously? Or not just a flight attendant now. I'm a whole team of people. So go ahead and diss us all if it makes you feel better, bloviators. It's just crazy. But one of the things we want to talk about today, I'm kind of off track here, is and how this actually happened during 9/11 too. I saw, I think it was a YouTube that someone had done on something, I believe they called it guerrilla propaganda. And this is not rocket science now. What they did around the time of 9/11 and shortly thereafter, until we got into the war they wanted to get into in Iraq. And remember, a lot of people don't even know this. We went into Afghanistan right away. Actually, in the FOIA data, there is noon-ish on 9/11 Eastern time, there is a FAA warning to aircraft flying in and around, over, through, under, and through Afghanistan. Why? Why? We didn't even have our planes landed in this country yet. And someone in the FAA was sending out warnings about aircraft in Afghanistan. Let's just think about that. Somebody knew the scenario that you were going to be told. Right? And so we know, and you'll meet these guys in Methodical Illusion, and again in Methodical Conclusion, military people who were in fact in Afghanistan 3 days after 9/11. Some of them actually were in the Pentagon that day on 9/11. So, you know, people know. And what I'm finding is a lot of people knew. A lot of air traffic controllers that were based at one of the centers on 9/11 that saw things working backwards, that saw things working inaccurately, that saw things like the FBI coming and taking tapes. The FBI doesn't get involved in that until later. And the FAA fighting them over the tapes. Well, why was the FBI so quick to take all the cameras off the Pentagon? Well, just earlier I was looking at one of the things I'm working on right now, is I have a radar in 4-second sweeps of every aircraft in the sky around the Pentagon at the time of it being hit. There is a video that's been out on YouTube, IntelliHub, I think, has it. Some other places have it. And the YouTube is flipped. So when you look at the corner, on the right-hand corner where it should say YouTube, it's off in the left-hand lower corner, and it's backwards, like you're looking in a mirror. Well, one of the things we're working on right now is locating all of the military aircraft, because that picture, that video of a missile hitting the Pentagon was taken from an aircraft. So what we're looking at right now is which aircraft took the picture of the missile hitting the Pentagon, because it's there. And whoever did it, I think they're going to find me. I think they're going to come forward in an email and say I was the cameraman. There was a C-130 up there. There was an E-4B up there. There were several fighter jets up there. And so what we're doing right now is tagging that exact location that, and we have to, of course, flip that thing around. The direction, you can see that the camera was in an aircraft moving. So it's going to be really interesting. Because of this, all of the radar that we have surrounding.
Do you have helicopter data? Because
yes.
Part of it looks to me like maybe it's a helicopter that picture was taken from. I mean, who knows?
Yes, I do have helicopter data as well.
Don't overlook that stuff.
Yes. And again, this is a lot of this is stuff that people have had, and they just didn't know what they're looking at. They didn't know. I didn't know what I was looking at. You know, it's funny because someone was really praising me, and I said, I can't take any credit. I sat, once I got the FOIA data, praying out loud, my out loud prayer, for God to send air traffic controllers. Just one would be fine, but people that could actually read this and could understand and knew what military aircraft were, what they're called, how they're titled, what their call signs are, and that sort of thing. So, and I didn't do that to, you know, make $3 or $2 off a book. I did that to find the truth on behalf of the crew, the innocent crew members, and their passengers that got on an airplane that day and thought they were going to go on a cruise ship or go on an interview or go home to their grandkids. And the truth just has to come out. And so there isn't trolls big enough, not Richard Gage, not any of them, that can stop me. Not even a drone strike is going to stop me. Because everything's out there now in other hands, so people that like to silence other people to keep the truth away from the people are out of luck this time. It has nothing to do with me. This is a force much bigger than me. So one of the things you saw was Bush, George W., out there, and you think about the messages that he saw. Said one of the things, and I included these in the books, is you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. And when you know the truth, if you're standing with us, which would mean Bush and the U.S. military, you are with the terrorists. And you're going to understand that when you finish reading the series. So what he said really was true, in a sense, except if you're standing with him, you're still with the terrorists. Another thing that they kept doing in this guerrilla propaganda is they would say Saddam Hussein, or in George Bush's case, he liked to call him Sodom, but Saddam Hussein with the word 9/11 or with the word terrorist or with the words 9/11 terrorists over and over and over. Now, what they do, keep in mind the CIA runs the media. Okay, so when you, what you, well, if you go watch Fox or you go watch CNN and you hear them say something, you can go to your local channel if you're in Boise or if you're in Denver or if you're in New Jersey someplace. Doesn't matter where you are, being Texas. You're going to hear the local news and in front of you at your city saying the same things over and over. And there's some great YouTubes out there about these guys, whether they're talking about the Easter Bunny or they're talking about 9/11 or currently talking against Donald Trump. So you're going to hear this guerrilla media. I want to point it out to you because now I want you to go do this assignment and I want you to go listen for them to do it. Because what they're doing is they will use this set of words. The words would be like on 9/11, 9/11, terror attacks, Saddam Hussein, okay, or and hijackers. Those words were used in a sentence over and over and over by every politician and every news talking head. Okay, guerrilla, guerrilla, guerrilla propaganda. Right now, the current hate by the media and the elite cabal that pulled off 9/11 in front of your face and then told you something else happened is to put Donald J. Trump with Hitler and you as a Nazi. If you're supporting him, you're a Nazi. You're a horrible person, and Donald Trump is Hitler. And you're going to see this over and over. There was a woman who ended up being not a real Trump person, who was at one of the primaries where all the other guys were still there, Bush and all those guys, Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush, by the way, John Ellis Bush, is a signer for PNAC, for the Project of New American Century. That's where they called for and planned for the quote-unquote New Pearl Harbor, to rally the American people around these wars that they already had planned. John Ellis Bush, Jeb, that's who that is. So when you look at the signers, it's really important to see Kagan, Robert Kagan, he's up against Bush. All of these Never Trump people are signers, not all of them, but most of them are signers of onto the Never Trump, Hate Trump train. Okay, so you're going to hear them constantly, constantly saying things about Trump that relate him to Hitler and to Nazis. And for some reason, Donald Trump is a huge threat to Jews. I don't know why. Oh, just imagine. All wars are bankers' wars. Remember that. And if you have never seen that on YouTube, you want to just put in the search bar, all wars are bankers' wars. And put it together, because this is getting to be very big print, I think. You know, like I've told people from the very, very beginning, from the methodical illusion, once the veil of truth about 9/11 is lifted, you're going to feel like you're in an alternate universe, because these people are painting a picture they want you to follow. And remember that this is all CIA mind psyops, mind control. They want you to hate Muslims, even if you don't know any. You know, it's interesting. Let me just interrupt myself, my little rant here. One of the things that I said several months ago was, you know, you're being manipulated to hate a group of people. In America, don't forget, we get to be what we want. It's religious freedom. And so all the Jewish Zionist-owned media is pushing all this hate against Muslims, but do you know any? Well, I got several emails from people that said, you know, I heard your show, and I didn't know any, and I went out to a local mosque, or I went out to a charity that some Muslims are running, or I went to a restaurant, a Middle Eastern restaurant, and I started talking to these people, or met them wherever at the grocery store, and just started a conversation. And they said, you are right. Really nice people have nothing to do with taking over the world. And so you're being manipulated. So this propaganda is real hot right now. And this is one reason why I wanted to do this show. But there's something else about 9/11. It's interesting that there, a friend of mine was telling me about a dentist down near Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana. And he got involved with some Middle Eastern guy. Now, remember, Israel's in the Middle East too. So, and a lot of times intelligence agents are acting like they're Muslims, but really they're Israelis. Now, you can just Google search that and find story after story after story of Israelis out there pretending to be, like, traveling around. Their U.S. Marshals couldn't tell if they were Arabs or Israelis unless they got their ID and then they knew what they were. And they eventually started doing that because they realized they were up to no good. Little do you know how much no good they were up to, but I know. So anyway, when this story was telling me about this dentist, and he got involved with this guy, I don't know, doing some sort of financing or something, went over to this guy's house, and the guy had three or four boxes sitting there. And in English, which the hijackers didn't speak or read, were written the names of the hijackers from 9/11. So they planted all of this patsy information. These particular hijackers had never stepped foot in the United States of America, ever. But the dentist saw. So after 9/11 happened and they pushed out all of these names, the dentist said, oh, I remember seeing that. Well, he can't read Arabic. And why would somebody write a name for someone to pick up a box in a language that the person that was going to pick up the box couldn't read? Why would you write my name in Arabic, for example, because I couldn't read it? Okay, so he did that for the dentist because they planted a lot of people around. It's kind of like Muhammad Atta, and there may have been three or four of him. Keep in mind that Muhammad Atta was a million-mile passenger on American Airlines. All the flight attendants would have known who he was on Flight 11. Now that we know some of the flight attendants were employed by the CIA, that makes an interesting twist, doesn't it? And we have a million-mile passenger. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But in order to be a million-mile passenger, everyone knows who you are, from ticket agents to flight attendants to sometimes even the ramp rats or the ground personnel, because your luggage carries a special tag on it that guarantees it to get on the plane. But what happened to Muhammad Atta? His luggage with his will and the Quran and the manual how to fly a 767 and all of this other incriminating evidence was left in the rental car that he left in at the airport, right? So that's how we know he did it. Sure. Mm-hmm. So you see, there's all this patsy stuff. And if you go back into the John F. Kennedy, Lee Harvey Oswald story, similar story. Now, we are to believe that Muhammad Atta was a radicalized Islamic fundamentalist. Then he wasn't sitting in a bar in Florida with a pink-haired stripper snorting cocaine and drinking vodka, was he? But who was that guy? Now, it's interesting that all the art students that were traveling around coincidentally were in the same cities that these supposed hijackers were supposed to be in, and some of them really look like the hijackers. So how do we know? How do we know we're being lied to? How do we know what's the truth? Because the media is plain not telling it to you, and what you're getting is brainwashing. So you have to really be aware of what happens when you turn that TV on. And this is like that boiling frogs thing. When you put a frog in the water and you turn the heat on, it gradually gets up to the boiling point. That frog will sit there like he's in a hot tub enjoying himself till he's cooked, right? Well, that happened to us with the media. And you need to understand this, especially if you're 50, 60, 70 years old, when the TV first came into our living room, and that was information, and that's how we got all this information. That's what how we gather information to place a vote, which is why if you vote for Donald Trump, the media is telling you you're a Nazi or worse. That's why W. Bush said you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Now take your flag and wave it, or you're a terrorist. Now remember, go back to that time. And he also said, we're not at war with Islam. And then he proceeded to go to war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now we're in about 14 of them. And who are we killing? Muslims. Well, that's not a war against Islam. I don't know what it is. Oh, it actually goes much greater and deeper than a war on Islam. It has a lot to do with just changing the entire Middle East for Israel's benefit. It's called the Greater Israel Project. You can look that up. And so really, when you look and see what happened, just coincidentally, I guess, when we go into Iraq, the first thing that happens are natural gas and oil pipelines. Where? To Israel. Well, imagine that. And then also, you know, once we took their government out, we replaced their government with American Jews, like L. Paul Bremer from Marshall McLuhan. Happened to be out of this office that day in the World Trade Center Tower. Somehow, he just placed himself in the, I think it was NBC Studios, one of the main studios there in New York, to tell us that this was done by Osama bin Laden. He actually went on to become the governor of Iraq. Imagine that. It's just crazy what they've done. But so sometimes when you start to wake up, you start to see that you, in fact, have stepped out of the matrix. I turn on the television now to see how the American people are being programmed. Because that's why they call it programming, by the way. You are being programmed. You're being brainwashed. And the current big thing, if you turn on the television, and it doesn't matter what channel news, whether it's local, cable worldwide, you're going to hear Donald Trump is Hitler and his followers are Nazis or some rendition thereof, because that's the cabal's big fear, because Donald Trump is a self-made billionaire. He is not a slave to Israel like Hillary Clinton is. And it's very, very frightening. And you can see that because that's who owns the media. And it is all controlled by intelligence operations. It's like TV is like a black op operation. It's mind melding. It's mind forming. You don't know Muslims, but I bet you hate them. I mean, I have people that have actually been evacuated from my Facebook group because they have been so brainwashed that they can't pull themselves out to realize this has nothing to do with Islam. I happen to have some personal friends, Shiite and Sunni, and actually had a neighbor that was, some neighbors that were Wahhabi. They're a little bit different. They weren't as good in English, so I didn't get as close to them. But, you know, Shiite and Sunni Muslims are very different than each other, and these guys happen to be best friends and friends of mine. So it's the propaganda you get is just insane. Now, you know, I've been blessed because I traveled all around the world. So I've been visiting and stayed for long periods of time in Islamic countries. And I have been in just about under every kind of religion and seen, you know, different cultures and religions around the world for, you know, more than 3 decades. So I've got a little different slant on people than a lot of other people, especially if you've never been blessed to be able to travel all around the world and meet other people. But they're all here now. And so one of the things also you're seeing a lot of is these things, they do come out and look like false flags. That it's always a Mohammed who's shooting somebody, or that's a mass shooter, the nightclub in Orlando and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, you'll see the records are sealed. Maybe if you just get your news from the mainstream media, you don't know that. But if you keep following a story, for instance, the truck driver that supposedly hit all those people and there was not one drop of blood on a white truck, there's no security cameras. They've all been sealed and taken away. So That street had been closed off to traffic, but the cops somehow let this lunatic go through to kill these people. And then you start to see people losing their jobs if they speak out or if they speak the truth, much like after 9/11, people that saw things, multiple explosions going off. Barry Jennings, the building city manager, whatever he was in New York, mysteriously dying early of a heart attack right before he was going into... give his, speech or his deposition or talk about what he experienced. And you see that there's probably 50 people that have had strange accidental deaths surrounding 9/11, at least, maybe more. So, it just seems like the way things work. People ask me all the time, if this really was an inside job, how did they get people to keep their mouths shut? Surely someone would have talked. I'm talking right now. I wasn't in on it, but I found it. It's all right there, black and white. Those people that were in the military, most of the high-ranking military went off into intelligence and then into huge six-digit figures from companies like DynCorp, Raytheon, and the military industrial complex.
Well, people who did talk and who have talked have no audience. Nobody is listening to them. Or those that are is so minute that it doesn't matter. And the perpetrators knew this.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that the people that really could, pull the wool back from everybody's eyes weren't going to talk. And those that did, they were irrelevant, and they render them irrelevant.
Well, that's true. And they were either silenced by mysterious death or, you can just look what the a lot of people have done to me. Mike Adams from the Health News and the Health Ranger character tried to get me on his network. And then they tried, him and his producer, Dean Ryan and Kurt Haskell, thought that I had written these books and I was stupid enough, smart enough to figure out 9/11. Of course, they never read the books. But stupid enough to not use multiple proxy servers. So they claimed I was a woman living in Texas and pregnant and posted all of this other woman's information online and have written just nasty things about Rebecca Roth. I mean, that's just craziness right there. But why? Why do my three novels threaten people like Fetzer and Mike Adams and these crazy characters? Why? Why would three novels be such a threat that they would make up crazy stories? I mean, Fetzer has me down as at least 20 different people. He must dream Rebecca Roth. Rebecca Roth. It reminds me of that Dumbo movie where the pink elephants are dancing around the room. And that's what I think Fetzer has, these pink Rebecca Roth dancing around the room. And each one of them is a chemist or an agent or a model or, some other crazy thing. I mean, the guy is a lunatic. He's there to be a lunatic, to make you look like a lunatic if you question 9/11. And that's what most of them are. They are set there to make you look stupid and like a lunatic, because he looks like a lunatic. No matter what happens, he's out there saying it didn't happen. Nobody got killed. Nobody died in Sandy Hook. Nobody died here and there. Nobody died on 9/11. I mean, if you look at somebody like that, they look stupid. They look insane. And so that's why he's there. And so, I've always said this. I'm not a conspiracy nut, never have been. But I do have the ability to look logically. A lot of people right now think Victor Thorne, the author, he'd written several books, 9/11. I never read his stuff. I've heard him on a couple interviews, but I never read his stuff. I was too busy researching, I guess. But a lot of people claim that Clinton's killed him. Well, I read...
Did he use a pen name?
Yes, as a matter of fact, he did.
Oh, I can't imagine he would do that.
Don't let John B. Wells know that. Or Fetzer, that Victor Thorne is a pen name. Oh, he's a fraud. Yeah. Anyway, yes, that was a pen name. But the person that was Victor Thorne, writing as Victor Thorne, took his own life on his birthday, August 1st. And I was reading about that in the American Free Press. He wrote for the American Free Press, among other places. And a lot of people are out there saying Clinton's did it. Well, listen, the guy took a hike on his birthday with a gun in a mountain right behind his home by himself, apparently. I don't know. what are the chances of an assassin waiting and waiting and waiting at Victor Thorne's home until he decides to go for a hike without any of his family members on his birthday? I mean, the chances of you being alone on your birthday are slim to nothing to start with, because it's your birthday. If they were hunting him down as an assassin, they'd know things like that. His address, his birthday, maybe, you know, when he might have a house full of family members and that sort of thing. So the whole logic behind claiming that he was murdered is kind of crazy when someone in the comment section of American Free Press said they talked to him in May and he had some serious health issue. Well, you know, it could have been depression. I don't know what it was. I mean, he didn't say. So, but obviously his wife, and family have said that he took his own life. So, I mean, it's just crazy when people are conspiracy nuts. You make everybody look stupid and crazy. So, you know, gather the facts, which is that's what I'm doing at this particular time. I'm just gathering facts. If there are any facts, and I believe he was in Pennsylvania. But come on, you got to be a logical figure. He wrote the books about Clintons a long time ago. They would have offed him before. I mean, if they care, but they don't seem to care because they have such control of the media. I know somebody said to me the other day, Hillary Clinton could murder a child on stage and the media would love her for it. And that's about how crazy it is right now. So just look, and as the guerrilla propaganda is, where Trump is Hitler and you are a Nazi if you support him, and this, you're being brainwashed. So turn it off. Just turn it off. And go back there and look. And that's what they're doing. But they're doing the same thing that Hillary is, a goddess. She is without any fault whatsoever in every single solitary channel. I was in a red state the other day and turned on their local news in a red state. It has never voted blue, ever. And guess who they're loving on? Hillary Clinton. And they think she's going to win by 10 points in a red state? I don't think so. Because guess what? Nobody's going to her speeches. But the media isn't showing you that. They're only showing this tight-in little, you know, crowd of 20 people behind her. And on the other side of the coin, people are waiting hours and hours and hours in 100-degree weather to get into an auditorium or an arena to see Donald Trump. And they're not telling you that. They're just saying that if you follow Trump, you're a Nazi. I mean, it's crazy. But who uses that terminology? Who really hates Hitler and who really hates the Nazis? The same people that own the TV stations. Imagine that. So anyway, just be aware you're being brainwashed. And this is called guerrilla propaganda, where they use these words together. Bush used Saddam Hussein, 9/11, terror attacks, blah, 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 9/11, September 11th. And whenever they present one of these attacks, in whether it's in Orlando or Paris or somewhere, you're going to hear September 11th, that attack, and September 11th, terrorists, the Muslim terrorists, over and over and over again. But again, in Paris, the truck driver was a drunk and a petty thief. He did not follow Islam. He didn't even go to mosque. So, yeah, he was radicalized real fast, they said. Yeah, like, what, overnight? So they just make stuff up, and they're just lying to you. And, you know, that's something you just need to be aware of. And so follow, look for sources that aren't nonsensical. I mean, you can't just claim that Hillary and Bill killed this man in Pennsylvania if you don't know the rest of his story. Maybe see his autopsy, talk to his wife, or read something she said, so. Anyway,
Well, we're about out of time. I'm going to go over to the football stadium, make sure there are no blue footballs. That would really screw things up.
Wouldn't that be wild? Well, that's hard enough to watch him with the blue uniform on that blue field in Boise, Idaho. And what's their team? Are they Broncos?
The Broncos.
Bees and blue. Blue Broncos in Boise.
Yeah, I got to get out of this state.
Well, stay safe. I think there's a lot of fires going on up in that area.
Yeah, there's smoke in the air.
Yeah, I bet there is.
All right, Rebecca, it's always nice to visit with you. Good show.
We'll put this
up on YouTube when we get the first opportunity, and it'll play on Blog Talk later this afternoon.
Sounds good. Well, take care. Be aware. You're watching TV. You're a part of a black operations.